the winter.
I like the middle of the winter is great. It's the shoulder season. So it's the melt season and spring.
I'd like to welcome everyone to this April 18th Public Outreach and Legislative Committee meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting, members of the public can to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, the meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. Remote participation is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To the public that is here in person tonight, we have public comment cards on the table outside. Please complete those and return to the administrator if there are any public comments. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item staff will present. I will ask for a public comment. I will then ask for discussion and questions from committee members. The committee will then come to a consensus to move an item to the board for consideration. Any PowerPoints shown at tonight's meeting will be posted on the SCB Water website. We have all committee members present tonight and we'll begin. Director Armitage, would you lead us in the pledge?
Please stand, place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible,
liberty, justice for all.
All right, so the first item is public comment on non-agenda items. Do we have any online? We do not comment. And seeing none from the public who is present, we'll move on to the legislative consultant reports. The first one is presented by Jeff Bowman from Van Squaic Associates.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's nice to see everybody tonight. So we had a shorter than usual written report due to a two-week congressional recess, and now most of the attention in the last couple of weeks has been on funding for the activities going on in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. That did not stop the Environmental Protection Agency, however, from last week releasing the primary drinking water regulation for six PFAS substances. The rule now sets maximum contaminant levels, or MCLs, of 4 parts per trillion for PFOA and PFOS. The rule also sets MCLs at 10 parts per trillion for PFNA, PF, HXS, and Gen X chemicals. They will give you the new rule will give you guys 3 years to complete your initial monitoring and then 5 years to implement solutions that reduce PFAS levels that it would exceed the MCLs. And also beginning in 5 years, you have to alert the public if MCLs are being exceeded. Conversations are still taking place on Capitol Hill related to a Superfund PFAS exemption for passive receivers. Still no progress, though. The House finally got in on the PFAS action this week. There was bipartisan legislation that was introduced. It's a tough topic right now in DCA with the NGOs fervently opposed to any liability waivers under Superfund. I'm seeing this may be a difficult thing to get across the finish line before the elections, but after the elections happens, it's anybody's bet what could happen in a lame duck session of Congress. And then lastly for tonight, our last couple of weeks at VSA and SCV Water have been consumed with requesting FY 2025 funds for the eWells project through Congress. We have submitted requests to Senator Padilla and Senator Butler. We are waiting for Congressman Garcia to open his portal for us to provide him with the same submission. Congress got off to a late start this year. But we're still going to request $5 million, which is a little less than 20% of the eWells project cost. These activities are pretty labor intensive. I think that Steve could probably tell you. We started talking to the SCV Water team on this project last year, probably the third quarter. And after we provide this request to Congressman Garcia, we'll begin more active engagements with your congressional delegation on the eWells project. With Congress getting off to a late start, it's unclear when they're going to wrap up, but we may not know the disposition of this. Similar to the S-Wells project, we may not know the disposition of this until sometime in 2025. So with that, I'll close and look forward to any questions you have for me tonight.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Any public comment first? Any public comment? No. Okay. Director comments. Seeing none over here. Any on that? Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks. Thank you for your report. I had a question about the section of the written report about the amendment to the Creating Confidence in Clean Water Permitting Act. So I'm wondering, how does this affect those of us on the ground locally, or I guess specifically here, would it affect us here in SCD specifically? And then I thought it was really noteworthy that Representative Napolitano expressed concerns about it, given she's kind of a champion in our water world. And just interested in hearing your perspective on kind of pros and cons on that one.
So this has always been a topic of conversation, that there are a lot of entities, particularly the developer community and some of the municipal community, that have NPDES permits. The time it takes to go and get the renewals of these NPDES permits. And so there are a lot of entities that feel that 5 years is too short of a period of time. I think that's why Congressman Garamendi from California, sort of from the northern end of California, also with some water expertise, and others of members of Congress want to provide a 10-year term limit, gives you more certainty. There's also some concerns in terms of resources at the EPA. Can they get these NPDES permits turned around quickly? Congressman Napolitano, on the other hand, is someone that worked with her when I was on the committee and worked with her staff. One of the things that I think Congress does very, very well, including Congresswoman Napolitano, is oversight. And if you shorten terms of those types of permits, it really forces Congress to do much more oversight, to be much more rigorous. And I can say the same for EPA. So it's not an easy issue by any stretch of the imagination. It has been a topic of conversation. It was a topic of conversation when I started at the committee in 2002. So I think that's kind of where things shake loose. I can't speak directly to the NPDES permits that really SCD Water or any of my clients have. We just flag that for most of you guys out in the water world. Even if you don't have NPDES permits, you may know individuals who do that may not have DC representations, and we try to provide that service not just to you guys, but for the community at large.
Thank you. Okay. That looks like it for questions tonight. So thank you, Jeff. See you next time.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
The next one is California Advocates. Let's see who we have. Dennis Albiani and Annalee Aiken-Augustine.
Thank you very much. Again, as our report indicated, April is the busiest time of the year for us, and all the bills basically in the month of April get heard. If they're going to get heard, it's now. And so next week is the last week for policy bills to be heard. Then we move into the fiscal appropriations, then the floor, then we do it all over again in the second house. So, and frankly, at the same time, we're also in the process of doing budget subcommittees. And so those are ongoing as well on most days. And so there's quite a bit of activity ongoing. And so we'll talk a little about some of the key bills, kind of some of the categories that are going on. And just for instance, last Friday, we had a meeting with Matt Stone and Steve Cole and Kevin. And went through a lot of the bills in detail. And these are kind of some of the categories and some of the highlights. It says Prop 218, but these are really bills that are designed to limit the litigation exposure for agencies here in California. Both those bills are moving and, getting their hearings. The taxpayer groups do often oppose those. And then you also have some issues about what's the proper, restrictions for ratepayers And so that's kind of the dynamic, and both those bills are moving. Had a long talk with Matt and Steve and Kevin last, like I said, on Friday on this issue of capacity fees. There's a discussion out there, and these are only the two lead bills here, Skinner and Weiner, but there's several bills, and even Schiavo has a bill that kind of has publishing of the fees and some of those. But the idea is affordable housing, that some capacity fees are so high that they could be a barrier to getting reasonably priced housing built. And so that's been part of the discussion, balancing what's appropriate, fees and notice on fees and those kinds of things for building new housing and those versus what's appropriate, the water districts and the utilities and those need to be able to get reimbursed for that, those capacity of which they're building out plants and infrastructure. So ongoing conversation. Again, those bills, the Skinner bill got out of utilities, but it was pretty beat up. And then you said yesterday, and it got out of Senate local gov. But again, lots of questions about what's the appropriate balance. And now those bills will be headed to the Appropriations Committee. Groundwater, pretty straightforward. The we follow this because Santa Clarita, while obviously a state water contractor, and that once the is in the North LA Basin. And so, we work with staff and make sure they're aware of what those bills are going through and what's going on there. And so we have the two, the Conley and Bennett bills are probably more of a concern to agricultural interests in the valley than more urbanized areas, but definitely just watching those at this point. And then one other bill that's just starting to take off, and then I'll kick it over to Anna Lee, is this 366 Caballero. The idea there is to get a state policy and a plan on what's the need for water in California. It's so regionalized. What's the statewide need? And then policies would follow, bills would follow to fill that need and address it. And so that's one of the ones, broad support for the water agencies that moved over to the second house. It's in the Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee. It will not be heard until kind of the June timeline, but that's where it is right now. And that's a big issue that's kind of a lot of the water world and environmental world are discussing and at this time. Now, Anna Lee can give a little update on the bonds.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see you tonight. Thank you for your time. So there's still the four main legislative bonds, but really two main ones. The main thing to report here is just that the working groups of assembly members and senators have started to meet again. So that is a good sign for some renewed effort in this. I think the March primary results of Prop 1 not passing by a significant margin worried people a little bit about the possibility of what other bonds we might see in November. But the Assembly has a working group led by Assemblymember Garcia, and we've been in communication with his staff throughout this process too. So they're leading the Assembly working group, as he's the author of their main bill. And then Senator Allen is leading the Senate working group. There's no new language to report yet or anything that's been publicized on that front, but just to update you on the bonds, there are efforts going on in both houses there. And then another just funding update, the governor did sign AB 106, which was the agreement between the Senate and Assembly leadership and the administration for really just implementing some of the strategies to compensate for our budget deficit. But there's nothing significant in that, just apart from what the budget balancing measures were that the governor introduced in January, but that was signed. And then we're going to be looking to his May revise too for more significant impacts for us.
And then just by chance, because the budget's there, I had a meeting last night with the budget chair on a bill issue, but we ended up talking at the end about the budget. You know, even if you implement every cut or fee or that the governor put out, there's still a $30 billion structural deficit. And so, you know, it's going to be very interesting how they get from, you know, A to B over the net this year and then to C next year over, you know, time, because it's going to be a very difficult budget. And frankly, not many of the legislators, and definitely not this governor, have ever gone through a real budget deficit like we have. And so it's going to be challenging to get to those solutions. But I just thought I'd throw that in because a lot of people are asking. And now we're in the crunch time. On May 10th, he'll do the May revise, and that'll have to have some more significant solutions in. And then it has to be passed by June 15th. And so they're looking closely at the revenue projections and calculating that. And I'm sure finance folks are getting their sharp calculators going, and that's where we are. And then the only other issue, I know we were talking, understand that there's a check presentation soon on some of the money on Arunda funding from last year's budget. So that's exciting as well.
And then just to follow up too, on, I know there were some questions on some bills from our last meeting. I did, apologies for the delay there, but I did just tonight send Steve some summaries of those bills. Three of them are up in committee next week. So happy to dive deeper into those if you would like, but just an update from last meeting on that.
Thank you. All right. Any public comment online? And in person, so we'll jump to director questions. Thank you for your presentation. Let's see. For SB 366, the California Water Plan, who would write the plan?
Yeah, that's a DWR. Oh. Is the main books, but they do have to solicit input from the Wildlife Department, Natural Resource Agency, Water Board, but they would be the coordinator.
Okay, thanks. And then for the budget, so there's a description in the written report that in order to make the reductions, there was a pause in one-time spending and then also dipping into the reserves. Is the pause in the one-time spending, I know we talked a little bit about potential effects, but has that been parsed out more, or are we going to, are any of our projects for sure going to be affected? Because I know there was a question of maybe, or do we have any more definitive picture of that right now?
Yeah, they paused the, for instance, the Arunda funding. We got a notice, and Steve could probably talk more about it. I did not receive the notice, but the staff did, that was on pause. And then, you know, a few months later got the notice that said, yes, we're submit your plan. We're evaluating these and have authority to release the funds when your plan's approved. So that's an example of one of the pauses that got that then they funded. There was some reductions in the budget, from previous allocations, and then so those are that money's essentially taken out of the ability to spend. So that's not even a pause; that's been a reduction. And then everything else, I don't know that there's a whole bunch of other pauses. I think it's kind of where they are right now, and I'm not aware of. I mean, Steve would know more or folks of specifics, but I'm not aware of any other of our funds that are paused.
Okay.
Yeah, I concur with that. We haven't got any other notice on any pauses that we currently. Some of them are tied to, you know, bond issuances and things. So it's kind of a different revenue stream that is through that, like for Irwin, for example, those grants.
All right. Thank you. And then in the section under the Aqua SLC update, at the bottom of page 6, it talks about Aqua's sponsoring and slash supporting AB2599, which is the one on public beaches. But I'm wondering if, because then it goes into saying into discontinuation of residential water service, which is an omnibus bill containing cleanup to SB3. So that was completely confusing. I'm like, how are these related? Is that maybe they were supposed to be separated? I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. Great question. I was confused as well while reading and write and looking at these portions, but it is that is the title of the bill, but it is still an omnibus bill from the committee. So I'm not sure why the public beaches is in the official title of the bill, but AB 2599 is the omnibus bill. And so part of the components of it is the cleanup measures that Aqua is sponsoring. So it's just a confusing title, but that is the correct bill number.
And omnibus bills are typically non-controversial bills that you're going through and cleaning up provisions of law. Maybe there was a problem with a funding bucket, and so they're clearing that up. Those kind of things where both Republicans, Democrats, everybody agrees upon, and it just moves through. So it could have 12 different sections in it, all water. They'd have to be, you know, on water issues, but cleaning up those different sections of law.
Okay. All right, thanks. And then there's under regulatory and administrative actions, there is a description of how DWR is announced proposed amendments to the Model Water Efficient Landscape Ordinance. And I tried to quickly kind of take a look at it to get an idea of what it's generally made up of. And so my couple questions related to that is, I know there's also a bill by Friedman, AB 1573, that's also related to WELO. And first of all, is that one still alive? And if it is there any reconciliation being done between those two efforts? And then lastly, I know I threw this out as one of my questions last time, is are we looking to support this effort? Because I would think that, again, I would think that this would be a good effort to support to help us meet our conservation targets and not have to do any work on our end. So
that's as far as the coordination on the DWR did a plan, and Friedman is trying to push the bill's trying to push the plan a little further and then put the requirements into statute. Now, folks always get a little bit anxious on that, and that, you know, because once it's in statute, there's less flexibility to be able to address it. It is currently on the Senate floor on the inactive file, so it did not pass last year, but it went through the committee process. So that's there. Again, you know, the policies look through that. We take direction from staff and obviously then from the board. So if that's an issue or a bill we're interested in, we could take a position on that. The challenge with it is then, you know, your community, you know, would need to implement those requirements. And, you know, again, I don't have a position, but sometimes people are very anxious about the folks not being able to, you know, water your lawns and do that outdoor. They did indoor a few years ago, and those were both regulatory and then statutory requirements. And outdoor has been a little bit more challenging. And it comes down to each lot size is bigger. You know, some people have a pool, some don't. You can imagine all the variables there, or even the difference between Santa Clarita and maybe Long Beach, and then in the Inland Empire, and just in your climate and water needs. So those are the issues. again, how you guys want to do that. That's the direction you give to the staff, and staff gives us.
And also just quick, just additional background context on 1573 Aqua, and then also the Municipal Utilities Association. They were in an opposed unless amended position on it, for the reasons of not wanting to set specific thresholds for native plants. And then they would propose instead supporting an approach of climate-appropriate landscaping instead of dictating specifically having native plants. So those were some remaining issues on the bill from Aqua's perspective. Just sharing that for some context, and I'm not aware of any further conversations with them to see if amendments were being worked out, but just some context there.
Okay, thank you. Can we just ask staff to think about it?
Yeah, we can take a deeper dive on it.
If it makes sense. If
the committee has interest in it, we can do a little bit more research and come back with some additional detail.
Okay, and then we've got to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the proposed amendments for Muello, are we taking a look at those two to make sure that, I mean, I know that's Matt Dickens' department. Is he looking at that, I guess I'm asking, to say if there's anything that we would maybe want to comment on?
I will run that down.
Just because I know it's a tool that we have and we reference in our water supply assessments. And so I feel like if there's only an opportunity once every 3 to 5 years to provide input in a way that maybe we think would work well maybe for everybody, like now's our chance to jump in and do that. So I think we should take... at least take a look at it, see if that's anything we're interested in doing.
I would think that seems reasonable. We can take a look at it for sure.
Yeah, I would. I think we've talked before about the issue with fire zones and native plants and not putting people in a position where they're losing their insurance over their plants. So that would be my caution. And I don't know that it would be my personal priority to look at this, but if the rest of the committee wants to.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to explore at least. I don't know which way I'd come down on, but
curiosity. Assuming staff is not talking about spending thousands of hours and
just a quick look at the pros and cons of review.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if it's like a cursory check of if it makes sense or not.
Yeah.
We're not committing to taking a position at this point.
We're just looking into it to see and bring it back. We think that, right?
Yeah. When would, Dennis, when would this bill be working its way through? Is it this year or next year?
This is 1573.
No, but when, timing-wise?
So, you know, the last day of the legislative session, it's this year. It's
okay.
You know, we'll close down. It's August 30th.
Okay.
It's on the Senate floor. So, and then it could go, you know, if it passed there, it'd go back to the Assembly for concurrence. I think what would usually happen, let's assume that there were some negotiations and the bill came off. Well, there was or some agreement, or at least a few people, more people would vote for it. The bill would come off an active file and it has to be held for 3 days. Long story, never mind. Mm-hmm. And then it goes in, the amendments go into it, it get voted out, assuming it could, then it would go to the Assembly, and then they'd have to do the same process, and just, they don't have to necessarily hear the new agreed upon amendments. They could waive the hearing, but they also could hear it off the floor. Then it goes and it's voted through. So that happens quite regularly at the last, you know, couple of weeks of session. But I don't know if this bill has legs to do that. And we'll look into it again. Annalee provided a little overview, staff, but we'll look into it and see where the negotiations are and are people, you know, digging in. To be frank, I've not heard about it in quite a while since last September. And so that tells me that there's probably not a lot of active negotiation. I actually met with Friedman's staff today on another issue, not a lot of active negotiations on this yet. But that's kind of what the month of July we do a lot. The legislators go on vacation or they go back to their districts. But up here, there's a lot of those bills that get worked through during that time.
Okay, so if we're going to do, if it looks like something we want to comment on, we want to know the timing too. So, okay.
And then similarly for the draft for that DWR is doing on their own as well. I think if we could find out what the deadline would be, if we wanted to comment on that, I think that would be helpful.
On 366?
On the DWR's amendments to the model water efficient.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then just one more thing. I thank you, Ms. Augustine, for sending the follow-up from the questions I had last time. I just want to make sure that AB 2947 by Lackey, the water conversion one, is included in your summary that you sent, because I reread a lot of the other ones, and I think I figured out the ones that I was asking about before, although I'm still going to be happy to read whatever you send. But that one by Lackey, I think it's the double negatives that are freaking me out when I read this, and I'm just having a hard time kind of understanding the intent behind this one. So if that's included, great. I will take a look at that later.
Yes, that is included. And it's going to be heard next week. So there'll be a full analysis published too, but that won't next week that we can send as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none. Thank you guys for your time and the update. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to move on to the agency's conservation public outreach campaign.
Would you like to tee it up?
Sure.
So when we set the calendar for this year, we wanted to have different departments be able to present what we were doing for outreach. And through this committee over the last few months, we also have been talking about legislation as it relates to conservation. What is our conservation team doing? We talked about it a few minutes ago with the county and fire mm-hmm. brush clearance and those things. So we wanted to put together a presentation that's hopefully hits on the two main topics. Sustainability manager Matt Dickens is on the call to talk about the legislative component and tracking those regulations and what the conservation team is doing in response to that. And then Laura Gallegos, one of our senior public affairs specialists, is going to speak about what our public outreach and what our education campaigns have been so far this year and what we're planning for this year. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Strauss and members of the committee. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, I'm Matt Dickens, Sustainability Manager, and I'm joined tonight with Laura Gallegos, our Senior Public Affairs Specialist, to provide some information that Kevin suggested or Mr. Strauss suggested that the committee might want to review or discuss. These include a look at our current water supply outlook, what regulations are currently in effect and those that we're working on and that are in motion, understanding our current messaging, our outreach campaigns, our conservation performance, and then our actions and next steps. Next slide, please. So what we show here is kind of a mock-up of a sample of what we share with our Sustainable Water Action Task Force, which is comprised of members of SCV Water, the City of Santa Clarita, Los Angeles County, Department of Public Works, as well as other elements of the county. And we currently meet once a quarter during a drought or a water emergency, if you will. We meet more frequently, but we still meet quarterly so that we can collaborate, partner, and plan. This shows us currently kind of what we're looking at in terms of drought. There are very few drought conditions active here in the state of California, some abnormally dry conditions in the north central part of the state, as well as down in the southeast portion. But for the most part, as we all know and have experienced, a lot of rainfall. Thankfully, a lot of it that we received here was received safely. We got a lot of snowpack, on average snowpack, after following record snowpack throughout the state. So two really good water years. I was reading something today, and of course, Sarah Fleury can provide more context on this, but I saw something that the West was hit by 55 atmospheric rivers this year. That's a lot. Not all of this came to California, but certainly a percentage of them did. So when we look to our state water project allocations, they've been increased to 30%. Our water year type is above normal currently. We're able to start taking water. Our water planning and supply planning folks and water resources have been working diligently to refill our banked water supplies that we depended on and provided value and security and resilience here to the valley during the last drought. But we do need to fill up those banks and prepare for future droughts, which we undoubtedly will occur again. And currently, there's no recovery needed from dry year resources in 2024. So a wet year for all intents and purposes, and thankfully two wet years in a row, which has provided a lot of relief for our water supply resources. Next slide, please. So now I'm going to move to talking about regulatory updates in the water shortage contingency plan, but also emergency regulations that are in effect. So currently from the governor's office back in March 24th, 2023, Governor Newsom took executive action to declare drought, an extension of the drought emergency declaration here in the state of California, specifically following a very wet year at that point in time, but really because of the impacts on groundwater supplies that had been witnessed from severe previous droughts. So at that point, there was an extension of the emergency drought declaration. That's still in effect today. And it does, of course, remove the request for voluntary conservation, but it does direct the State Water Resources Control Board to continue its emergency regulations for another year. And those were extended in May of 26, 2023, and they're currently still active. There was emergency action to ban decorative grass watering, also known as non-functional turf. And there were specific provisions that the state took action on for common water waste activities. However, shortly following our assessment of our local water supply conditions, which is what we do on an annual basis to determine how our supplies are impacted and how we might need to implement water conservation or escalated water conservation efforts in the community to help meet and stabilize supply-demand curves. In this case, the Board of Directors took action on June 11th, 2023 to rescind and deactivate the Water Shortage Contingency Plan and Ordinance from Stage 2 to a no-shortage status, which changed our conservation operations from those stipulated in the water shortage contingency ordinance to what we would call our standing or normal conservation operating paradigm. Next slide, please. In terms of legislation, I saw some discussion around 1573. We'll do some research on that as the committee's requested. Have followed the Model Water Efficient Landscape Ordinance and its development very closely, and have found it to be a very beneficial tool in terms of water conservation. Whether that's a legislative objective is something to be discussed and researched. But nonetheless, the state of California, as you know, legislation passed in 2009, the water conservation 20% reduction in gallon per capita day by 2020, known as SBX 7-7. That sunset in December 31st of 2020. SCV Water, all of its entities met those targets. We surpassed them by 4%. We achieved 24% reduction. But in 2018, the state preparing for what comes next, following the sunset of SBX 7-7, took action on AB 1668 and SB 606. Also known as the Water Conservation Long-Term Framework. I'll call it the framework just to help save some words here. So the framework establishes the next phase of water efficiency for the state of California, also known as making conservation a California way of life. It establishes urban water use objectives. And so those are comprised of, I'll share in the next slide what those are comprised of, but you might want to think of those as a community-wide water budget. That's a good way to think of those, where we know water budget specific to our properties or specific to a home or something of those means. In this case, this would be the cumulative effect of all of our water budgets, meeting what the state has prescribed as efficiency standards. It also establishes annual reporting and enforcement. In addition to that, it creates urban water use objectives and performance measures for CII, which are commercial, industrial, institutional customers. Next slide, please. So the State Water Resources Control Board, if you look back at the original legislation, it depicted that there were certain things and it prescribed that certain things the state agencies would do by certain dates, specific dates, and those were to come up with the methodologies and standards for which we were supposed to meet for those water conservation, urban water use objectives. And DWR met its requirement based off of what was stipulated. The State Water Resource Control Board, though, took a much more elaborate public engagement and research-heavy approach towards developing its recommendations. And so they provided their first recommendations last October, following significant pushback from the state, considering how prescriptive and quick and expensive, even the Legislative Administrative Office wrote a report in its assessment of the proposed emergency of the proposed regulation, that it was not cost effective and technically not feasible. Following that, with response from agencies, including our agency, that looked for a more approachable, feasible, cost effective approach, the State Water Resource Control Board submitted its updated recommendations in March of 2024. And then again, that creates general water use objective recommendations, CII performance requirements, recommendations, and reporting requirements. Those things are, those various different standards do not apply to the indoor water use efficiency standard that was prescribed through statute and state law, which is 55 gallons per person by 2025, 47 by 2030, and 42 gallons per capita day following them. This looks at irrigation efficiency standards, crop coefficient, planting pallets, and so forth, as well as efficiency operation of those systems through to 2035 to 2035, 2040, and then to 2040 on. So it extends the compliance period, and it reduces the efficiency burden on customers. So it provides a little bit of leeway for folks to get their systems improved in efficiency and water need over time. The State Water Resource Control Board is expected to take action this summer on its proposed recommendations. Next slide, please. I should say to that, though, that we, SCD Water, did provide and signed on to AQUA's letter of the current regulations. So one of the things that Mr. Strauss, Kevin, requested I look at was kind of the LA County fuel modification requirements and what we're promoting to customers through our lawn replacement program, and as well as how do we communicate with customers about those specific requirements. So there's a couple of places. One, we have an article that we partnered with during the development of our Garden Smarter publication. We partnered with LA County fire folks to develop the article you can see here that kind of really depicts the structure-centric landscape design approach that they're looking at for those areas that are considered high fire threat zones and that require fuel modifications to ensure that the structure has the best protection against fires, and as well as the people inside of it who matter most. And we certainly concur with that. The lawn replacement program, it kind of deals with this issue in numerous ways. It is not structural centric per se, but there's nothing in our program that precludes a customer from complying with the LA County fire fuel modification requirements and at being eligible for our program. We also stipulate in our terms and conditions that customers are required to comply with their federal, state, and local requirements, and that it's really up to them to make sure that their designs and their projects conform and comport with those requirements. it should be noted that our program structure is specific to receiving the incentive, which is founded on water efficiency, water conservation, as well as other elements that the agency has defined as a value to the program, to the agency, to the community. But I would say that our program, while it doesn't say it's not specific to the nuisance abatement or the Muello, if you do our program, you're going to be in compliance with the nuisance abatement requirements. You're going to probably meet, beat, or exceed the Model Water Efficient Landscape Ordinance conservation requirements. And in addition to that, if you design it in a way that meets the structural centric elements of the fuel fire fuel modification strategies, you're also going to be, our program would put you in compliance with their program as well and their requirements. And again, other things that our program provides, we have sustainability bonuses for using a certain amount of native plants, sheet mulching, water retention features, bee hotels, owl boxes, rain barrels. In addition to that, we have, which you can bundle with these rebates, irrigation efficiency rebates for high efficiency sprinkler nozzles, spray bodies with check valves and pressure regulation, master pressure regulation devices, as well as valve pressure regulation devices and drip irrigation. So quite a bit of rebates that our agency provides to customers to help them build a climate resilient landscape that conforms and comports with all of these various requirements that are out there. Next slide, please. With that, I'll pass it over to Laura Gallegos. Laura?
All right. Thank you, Matt. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us today. I'm going to dive into the updates of our communication and outreach efforts in regards to water conservation. Next slide, please. So our current water conservation campaign, which began in July 2023, is Conservation is a California Way of Life, which highlights the importance of saving water in California. Last year, the Santa Clara Valley Water Board deactivated the Water Shortage Contingency Plan and ordinance, and because things were getting better, we decided to update our campaign to reflect the new message. So we wanted our community to be proud of their efforts during the past drought while reinforcing the message of continued water conservation. We let customers know that they did a great job and that we can continue to help them save water. We offer them rebates, have checkups, we have workshops, and we do anything for our customers to make sure that make it as easy as possible. And we just continue to reinforce the message that we want everyone to use water wisely and not waste it. That's the key message, is no wasting water. And by teaching them and rewarding them with good behaviors, I think we're making sure that our community is saving water for times of drought. Now, looking back during the last drought, we used about 45%, almost half of our banked water, and it shows that our efforts paid off. So we're still working hard to save water and ensure that we have enough water for the future. Next slide. So two of the campaigns that we're currently running, one other campaign that we're currently running is Conservation in Action, which kind of plays on conservation as a California way of life. But they're water saving stories, and we're showcasing the agency's commitment to water conservation by highlighting success stories, highlighting our staff who are actually doing the work, and we hope to inspire and motivate the community to actively participate in water conservation efforts. We want to continue to educate the audience on the importance of sustainable water use. And our strategy is to feature diverse stories. So we are doing profile interviews. We're doing visual content as well as educational content. And we are broadcasting this on our website, social media, and daily, monthly in our Water Currents e-newsletter. Next slide, please. And so, Muni, if you will, this is actually one of the videos for...
I get a lot of joy from helping customers, talking to them, teaching them how to conserve water, how they can contribute to water savings. Water is a really precious resource. The mission of our conservation department is really to help our customers achieve their water efficiency goals, to help them through the process of a rebate, and help find resources that can help them along the way. It's really exciting because there are so many ways that customers can participate in our programs in a way that works with their lifestyle.
I come from Santa Clarita, so I definitely appreciate the customers out here. They're trying to take care of the environment, and with lawn replacement, that's a major way we can do that.
It's definitely a common misconception where people say drop tolerant landscape, and they associate that with cactus and gravel and hardscape. But the reality is that water efficient landscapes can be beautiful, they can be lush and vibrant and full of color. We at SUV Water are proud of our community for pulling through the last drought and becoming water champions and making conservation a way of life for us.
There's an overlap between water conservation and rebate action benefits. One major thing we can do to help customers out is give them an initial rundown of their water usage.
We offer them free irrigation surveys where we'll measure the landscapes, look at their irrigation system, and help try to match them to what program might be best for them. An example of that is the Barge Park at the Promenade Apartment. That project was over 80,000 square feet. They converted this grass area into this usable space. Not only is beautiful, but can be enjoyed by people and their pets. We at SUV Water, especially our conservation department, are extremely proud of our community for stepping up.
My name is James.
I am Dolores.
My name is Siobhan.
I'm Julia. I'm a water conservation specialist at SUV Water.
So yeah, that's one example of our conservation in action videos. Some other things that were actually mentioned in the video were like our commercial customer campaign, Water Champions. Matt's team is currently doing the Great Leak Sweep. And the Water Champions program, it helps local businesses in Santa Clarita Valley with using water more efficiently. So the program provides resources and programs to help businesses showcase their water conservation leadership in our community. So they actually get like a leak audit. And I, as one of the pictures right there, I actually was there with them. And it's a great program for businesses. We highly recommend it to everybody. And then we're also promoting our Garden Smarter publication, which was from last year, but it has such great resources that are timeless. So we continue to push them back. That program. Another new thing that we're doing is our conservation conversations. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but we recently had like a pilot one at our rock office. We had it there for staff, and then we had one at our last gardening class at Bridgeport Park by our garden. And these are going to be monthly pop-ups in the community, where the group will share resources with HOAs, nurseries, irrigation supply stores, and hopefully farmers markets. And at the tables, they have all the resources that our conservation team has. Next slide, please. So we've actually been trying to continue to promote the lawn replacement program. This last video that we have to promote it was a really fun one. Uni, are you able to play it?
So this is Carl. He does the same thing every day. But one day, he had an idea that would change everything.
Replace my lawn and more for my landscape. Ah! Let's do this.
And you know what? He did just that. With drought-tolerant and pollinator-friendly landscaping, Carl Shaw is transformed.
That's my favorite part.
Good morning, Carl. Isn't it a beautiful day?
Yes, it certainly is.
Save water. Get more from your landscape.
So that video was a lot of fun. We definitely were able to reach our audiences with humor and showing them the actual landscape after. So we want to continue to make videos like that just because we actually catch people's attention in this world. Next, I'm going to talk a little about paid advertising, what we are currently doing. So we're currently have digital and print ads in the Signal and in the SUV magazine. We also have our digitals in with KHTS and Spectrum. So we're continuing to have our messaging out there in the community, specifically in the Santa Clarita Valley. So all of our messaging stays in the Valley. Next slide, please. So it's social media. It's still one of the best ways to reach our audiences. These are just some of the spring summer campaigns that we're currently doing. They tie in with our conservation as a California way of life. And so that'll continue through this campaign. Next slide, please. So some upcoming efforts. We will be working on a few programs that are on our radar, such as developing communications plans for non-functional turf and recycled water. So those are definitely on our radar, and you'll probably be hearing more about that in the next couple of months. So now I'm going to pass it back to Matt to talk about our demand and performance.
Thank you, Laura, and again, members of the committee. Those just want to give a shout out to Communications for their support and their collaboration and development of all these really fun projects. When I filmed the bee commercial, I was still experiencing some legacy, some lingering illness stuff, and it was 106 degrees that afternoon with the western facing sun, and we were out, you know, dancing in 105 degree in a bee outfit, and I did go in. I had an anaphylactic shock episode later that evening. But we got through it, and we did the commercial, and it was really fantastic how great it came out. I was so happy. But I also want to share that when I was recovering from my surgery, I saw the commercial with the conservation team, and I just stood up clapping. I'm so proud of that group and the work that they do for our community, our customers. I couldn't be there because I was recovering from surgery, but I didn't need to be there because that team is awesome, and they did amazing work on that. And thank you to Communications for conveying that. They were also nervous about how they would come across on camera, whether they would, you know, because they're not public speaker, they're speaking professionals, they're conservation professionals. But I thought they looked great, and they are great. So turning now to a water conservation performance, this slide right here kind of shows our gallons per capita day performance from 1995 through 2003. Our SBX 7-7 pre-2010 baseline was 272 gallons per capita per day, and our target for 2018 was 218. So if you hit the, I think, a space bar, Uni, we'll get an animation there. So what we can see there is that, you know, after 2011, after 2008, the Great Recession, and then drought efforts and conservation efforts, our gallon per capita day has dropped significantly. We hit a major milestone in 2023. Not only do we can meet our 2020 targets by getting to 24%, but in 2023, with rainfall and continued conservation from our customers and cooler temperatures, et cetera, we saw our gallon per capita day drop 41% compared to the baseline. 41% from what you're looking at to the left to what we're seeing on the right. That's huge improvements for efficiency in our community. And to think that that's occurring while the community is still flourishing, nourishing, and a great place to live, raise a family, build a business, you name it. This is a wonderful community who's doing those things and being efficient with our very valuable water supplies. And it's valuable water supplies. Next slide, please. This is our kind of looking at 2024. We're kind of wanting to see, like, how are we performing compared to the 272, that black dash line would be today's population and monthly water usage if it was using it 272, today's population. And then our target, that target's going to change when we start promoting the urban water use objectives. But until that's finalized, we're continuing to track in this kind of this manner. And what you can see is that we're down even more compared to that. You know, if last year we were at 42%, we're at 47% this year. And production just through March is we've conserved compared to our target, our conservation target, which really would for this year, that dotted black line should be 28% of the 272. If you look at that, we're saving 2,766 acre feet on top of that. So we can clearly see that when in wet years, and when we have cooler temperatures in the spring and the winter and going into spring, that customers don't need to water as much, and they're not. And that's for a lot of reasons. They're turning off their sprinklers, and in many cases, so many of them have water weather-based irrigation controllers that they automatically shut off. So what's good about that is that we're seeing them respond positively to the wet weather. The challenge is whether or not that response is equal on the other side of the equation when we have hot, dry weather. And typically, it doesn't. So we'll have to continue to monitor this. Next slide, please. So when we look to our action items and next steps, you know, we have a number of programs. Those Laura talked about, the Water Champions Great Leak Sweep is underway. We've got conservation conversations coming, you know, things that we continue to engage with, our HOAs. We meet with several HOAs a month and continue to have specific outreach and engagement with those folks on various different issues and providing services to them. But here's some things that are on the radar as we know them that are scheduled. In April and May, we both of those months, we have a multifamily apartment project, two different sites in the Valencia area that are conducting full indoor and outdoor surveys, and perhaps we'll be installing thousands of premium high efficiency toilets. We are going to launch our water use efficiency strategic plan. We will continue the promotions of our video series and lawn replacement programs. We've got our community pop-ups. Those first ones that we conducted were a beta test. We wanted to make sure that product and that service was high quality and met the objectives that the conservation team wanted to, the technical objectives and the subject matter expertise that we were hoping to convey to taking conservation messaging out to the public and creating these pop-ups to make it easier for folks to attend. We have our continuation of the Water Champions Great League Sweep program. In May, we're continuing with the Water Use Efficiency Strategic Plan, again, another apartment complex, irrigation efficiency program promotions, and the continuation of our Water Champions program until we survey and canvass the entire community. Next slide, please. I believe that's it for our presentation. Together, this is a wonderful message, and what a beautiful picture. Oh, go back one. This is a great message. Questions and award. Together, we're making water conservation a California way of life. Look at those beautiful poppies. I did get a chance to go up to the Poppy Reserve in Antelope Valley. When I went, it was too early. I'm really hoping that we can get out there to see those flowers in bloom, because it's going to be hopefully a wonderful super bloom for us this year. With that, I'm sure myself and Laura will be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you. See if we have any online public comments.
We do not.
Right?
Any in-person public comments?
No, we do not. Okay. I'll go to staff questions and comment and board members questions and comments.
I do have some.
Okay.
Go.
So I don't want to come across in my questions or my concerns as being opposed to lawn replacement. Obviously, grass is a water hog, and for most purposes, it doesn't really serve much of a purpose. What I'm thinking is that we might want to better review some of our past lawn replacement program participants, maybe, So I see lots of pictures of beautiful things that happened, you know, on Tuesday, it got all dug up. Wednesday, a bunch of stuff was planted. On Thursday, you know, we take a picture and it's beautiful. And I can think of several houses. I walk around my neighborhood occasionally. I should walk more, but I don't. But when I do, you know, I think of a few houses that have converted. I don't know if we've helped pay for it or helped design or whatever, but I see some houses that 2 years ago, some very pretty work was done. And today I walk by those same houses and the decomposed gravel, granite has got all kinds of weeds growing up in it. The decomposed granite is washing out onto the sidewalk and creating kind of a hazard. I don't know how somebody is supposed to maintain this kind of a thing. But I would think that even if you put fabric underneath the decomposed granite, that once a weed pokes a hole in it and you pull the weed up, you're going to have a hole there permanently and you're going to have a new weed grow up there all the time. What I'm asking for, I guess, is that maybe we ought to go back and take pictures of some of these wonderful success stories 2 years later. And because I never see those pictures, but I can tell you that when I go and walk my neighborhood, I can see them and they're ugly. And I'll bet that the owners, when they look at their own property, probably I wouldn't be surprised if not a few of them say, you know, I wish I'd never done this. I didn't know that rocks just moved. I don't know why rocks move, but they do. And again, I'm not opposed to the idea, but I'd like us to try to develop as smart as we possibly can things to assist our customers with projects that will 10 years from now still look good and meet the maintenance that people think that they're going to do. Because I think most people think that they're going to have to do very little maintenance on a drought tolerant landscape. And I think I know that, you know, most of my neighbors just pay somebody to mow the lawn. Okay. That's the maintenance. And they mow it, they edge it. The gardeners know what to do. They know how to do it. It goes for 10 years. It looks pretty much the same. Anyway, all that to say, can we develop more smarts on how to help our customers have success? And success being something that looks some number of years later, looks good and doesn't require a huge amount of maintenance and expense. That's my comment.
Richard Colley, thank you for that comment. And I certainly, in my experience, can share similar stories from the city of Albuquerque, from Los Alamos, from here in the valley. And what we have done, which I believe we're the first agency to have created this, and I'll send you an email with the documentation, is we created a landscape management guide that's in the form of a calendar that you can use every year to both qualitatively look at your landscape to see how it's performing and then when to do certain things throughout the year that are very simple to help maintain that landscape. In addition to that, we came up with a English and Spanish landscape contractor support guide that homeowners can hand to their landscape contractors that tells them how they can accomplish the services that need to be done within 10 to 20 minutes that will help maintain those landscapes as well. Because we saw the same thing that you saw, and our customers asked for the same thing that you're asking for. So very, very insightful comment, and it's one that we'll get you that information, but we are providing that to our customers now. And I believe that we have an initiative to reach out to customers who participate in the program prior to the launch of these support resources to be able to provide them retroactively.
So it sounds like you're certainly aware, and I guess anybody who's ever looked at any of these after some number of months or years can see the problem. So yeah, I'm glad that you're working on it. I encourage you to continue to work on it, and I really appreciate the information, anything you can give me of work that has been done, but please don't stop. Please continue to try to figure out ways to help our customers get what they think they're going to get, which is a drought-tolerant, cheaper to maintain landscape that will look good for years to come. So thank you.
Any other director questions, comments?
Go ahead.
No, because if you say something that is on my list, I strike it off.
I go back to that last, or right before the last slide, right? Not the question one, but together we're making water conservation a California way of life. And I just love everything about that. I think that that's something that this agency really embodies. And I think the collaboration between the different departments is proof of that. And it's a beautiful visual and beautiful numbers. And I know that the gardens have always been a sore spot, because I definitely think I've been trying to get my husband to convert ours for a long time. And the biggest hesitation, right, is what is it going to look like? What is the maintenance going to be? I personally don't mind things that other people would mind, but I think that that's where, you know, humans think they know stuff or think that they can, oh yeah, that's no problem. That's how I got four dogs. It's not as easy as you think it is. I'm glad that we're going to keep on encouraging people. I know that there was someone that was in our water academy. Oh, by the way, thank you so much. Can I make a little shout out to them sending out somebody to Placerita Nature Center to do a docent enrichment? Thank you so much. It was so great. It was really, really well received. But yes, that person that brought the SCB water to the docents too, they participated in our lawn replacement, and they have nothing a while back, and they have nothing but good things to say about it. So that would be a good person to, like, she was showing me all the pictures and all the receipts and everything, but it was great. So just keep it up. I love your innovation. I love the playfulness. I love how, you know, we're meeting our customers where they are. It's just great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Director Armitage.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you for your presentation as always. And thank you to your whole team for the amazing amount of work you do. I think your work is so important and so key. I know I say this all the time, but I think repetition in this case is good. Your work is so important. So I always appreciate getting to hear an update. I know the whole committee, we were excited about you coming to talk to us, and we keep fighting over you. We want you in POL, but we know Water Resources wants you too. So thanks for checking in with us. Let's see, I'm gonna go through my list real quick. The videos, I love the videos. So whoever's producing the videos, they're such, I think, great quality. I'm always impressed. And the bees and the butterflies, oh my goodness. That commercial aired on my television at home, and I had to, like, also get up and, like, get all excited about it too. So it's just so much fun.
I'm sorry, he almost died.
Now I don't know the backstory. I mean, he's sad when I see it.
It's fine now, though.
Yeah, okay. It's okay.
He's got a multi-million-dollar acting offer.
He's movie too.
Yeah, there we go. And the Water Champions program, I know I had reached out to Mr. Dickens with some questions about that. And I'm so impressed. They're approaching every single business in the Santa Cruz Valley, which I was shocked to hear. And so I think that's just amazing. So kudos for that. The conservation conversation pop-ups, I do have a question related to that. How are we promoting those ahead of time? And who are we reaching out to?
I can let Matt do the who we're reaching out to. It's currently in a pilot. It's internal for staff just to test what that looks like.
Okay.
And then we brought them out to the most recent landscape workshop at Bridgeport Park just to see what that foot traffic would be and how that interaction went. So it's still very much in its early conception and bringing that out there. But Matt may have a deeper schedule. I know that Julie on his team is managing those and where they're going to be and when and how they're going to do that outreach.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. That's right. We meet with we're constantly in contact with our HOA management firms as well as the boards. We meet to provide, of course, various different types of services. Usually those start with some sort of landscape inspection or meeting where we present the programs that we offer and then do some sort of site assessment to identify the opportunities. And in that time, we build relationships. And then with that, we follow up and we communicate and say, hey, look, you've got a community center. Would you be, you know, you're looking for stuff to put into your newsletter? Would you be willing to host and let us come and do a pop-up at your park and your community center on a Saturday morning and, you know, have some coffee, donuts, and talk about lawn replacement or what smart water irrigation controllers or whatever, high efficiency irrigation. And so that's the next step. We've also coordinated with the city to look at conducting the pop-ups at some of its facilities, as well as the farmers markets. So it's really trying to get it, and possibly also holding these at some of the irrigation supply houses to do more of a contractor centric approach to this. But it really gives us the opportunity, instead of having a major event that takes thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours of promotions, we can really get into a community, have a pop-up, make some very good connections and engagement with customers in a place that they can travel to that's 20, 30 feet or maybe 100 feet from their home. That's really what we're trying to do, is get this messaging as close and as easily accessible and available for customers who typically may not go to all the special events. I think if you go to one or two or three different special events, after the fourth one, you start to see the same crew walking around. So we want to engage the unengaged. We appreciate all of them, but we definitely want to engage the unengaged.
Thanks. Okay. Couple more things. One is, if we're turning to the multifamily housing efforts, I'm trying to understand how, to date, how much of the multifamily housing kind of area, or like, what's the word I'm looking for? What percentage of the multifamily housing stock has been reached out to and been talked to for conservation efforts? I guess I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, well, that would be 100% for the large facilities. There are probably some small facilities that we need to do a little bit of a deeper dive to engage with them, those that maybe like an 8-plex or a 12-plex or something like that. But anything over 20 apartments, we've done 100% engagement. We've conducted the audits or the checkups. Sorry, that was an aged term that I shared there. We did the checkups for about 10 different sites. Of which have, you know, again, resulted in over 300 million gallons saved from those 10 sites. And so this would be 11 and 12 that are on board. And I would think that we probably have another 10 to 20 that would be ideal for us to engage with and target for maximum optimal conservation.
Okay. And then, so do you cycle through again after you visited some of them, or is it just once you've hit them, you're done?
Well, I mean, we could cycle through, but I guess it would depend on whether or not there have been significant improvements in the efficiency of the products that we're installing indoors. That typically is not the case, but certainly cycling through with irrigation inspections makes a lot of sense.
Okay, last question. As somebody had asked me if native grasses were an approved replacement for kind of traditional lawns. And I didn't know the answer to that. I thought maybe probably not, but I wasn't sure. Is that part of the program?
Yes, some are, okay. but you maybe you're asking turf, like full coverage turf for like buffalo grass or something to replace your entire yard. That would not necessarily conform for our current program requirements. Not to say that we might need to, you know, evaluate that, but I think if you're going to mix some grasses, native grasses, into your landscape design in certain areas, then yeah, I think that it would be totally applicable and eligible for the rebate.
Okay, sounds good. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks. I have a couple quick questions. Great presentation. I know it comes up a lot when you're not here, so we appreciate having the overview. You mentioned early on the current iteration of the State Water Resources Control Board regulations or legislation, as it may be. Are we supporting that now? You said something like we're with Aqua, but I couldn't hear where we're at. Is it in good shape? Do we like it now, or are we still hoping for changes to what they're going to adopt this summer?
I think that the story there, Director Goodside, is that many of the provisions we're in favor of, because they do provide more flexibility. They provide more opportunity and time for customers to take the plunge, if you will, or convert their usage to more higher efficiency. And it gives agencies more time to kind of get those things in order and to accomplish those goals, rather than very expensive, very quick, rapid implementation of those programs. So I think for the most part, I would say that you know, we're in support of these recommendations because of the flexibility they provide. There may be some specifics in there that we need to still kind of look at and say, you know, why half an acre? Why, you know, for the CII DIM threshold, is that really what we should be doing, instead of looking at BMP type approaches, which are very often very tick the box, move on? We want to look at, to Director Cawley's comment, smarter, more data centric approaches to optimizing our conservation, so that we're not just doing things for the sake of doing things. We're doing them with meaning and intent, and then achieving the impact that we're hoping for.
Okay. And you just reminded me, so Director Cawley's comment was kind of about monitoring. Is there a component in there? Well, I'm sorry, just curious real quick on CII, is it a budget-based approach, or is it, so if a site does a great job, let's say they cut their water use by 20%, are they still going to get dinged for not having a particular thing a certain way? Is it percent reduction, or is it you shall do these things?
It is. It's interesting because there's different measures that are specific to the agency. For example, we have to classify all of our CII customers. Typically, we classify them as commercial, industrial, institutional. Now we have to subcategorize those into 19 subclassifications that comport with the Energy Star's portfolio manager, which is actually one of the things that they're doing in the Great Lakes sweep. We're getting that done in advance to get that classification done. So that's a very good benefit, with multiple benefits there in that program. But that's one thing we have to do. Then we have to look at thresholds. So if a customer has a certain threshold of, say, an acre, a half acre of irrigated area, and they're not a dedicated irrigation meter, meaning that they're a mixed-use meter, a MUM, then we're supposed to put in some sort of sub-metering apparatus, whether it be a new service or a sub-meter or something that we can isolate their irrigation usage on. That's a big deal. Then we have to look at certain customers who have a certain water usage, and then kind of work and prioritize working with those folks. I've run large user programs before, and I kind of have an issue with that, it just professionally and experientially, and that is that not all large users are large wasters of water. They may have very legitimate reasons why they're using a lot of water, and they get into the large user list and they stay there in perpetuity.
Right.
Back in when I worked for the city of Albuquerque, a lot of multifamily apartment programs were listed as large users, but they had 1,000 units. They're housing 1,000 homes in a you know, 5-acre site. That's of course they're going to have large use compared to others, but what can they really do to reduce that usage? If you were to compare it to 1,000 homes, they're using a fraction of the water that they're using. So we have to be very, you know, I think what we want to do is make sure that we have the flexibility to prioritize data so that we have data-centric opportunities that really meet customers' needs rather than just shoving them into a bin and saying, well, you're a large user, you must be a large waster, and I don't want to make those connections.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of work and a lot of detail that you have to handle. So it's interesting. Yeah, we'll see how that goes when it's finalized. On the landscape, and also, you know, again to Director Colley's comment about follow-up, how – I'm really concerned about this fire thing because, you know, a lot of people have lost their insurance. A lot of people are getting inspected by their insurance and by LA County Fire. In fact, I think LA County Fire is probably inspecting everyone in town or most people in town. Are we saying, yeah, go ahead, put that manzanita there and checking that it's in the right zone from their house? Or are we not getting to that level of detail? And if we are approving things like manzanita bushes or junipers or whatever, are we saying we are not liable if you have to take that plant out for some other reason? Or, you know, if you lose your insurance because you have juniper bushes, is there a disclaimer in there if we're getting into that level of detail with that?
We don't get into that level of detail with customers. And I would, when I looked at the LA County fire fuel modification fire map, I would say it's like a 70-30 split. 70% of customers aren't in the fire fuel modification zones. About 30% are. It's really limited to the edges of town. It might be more than that, but I'm just looking at the valley, and then you can kind of see the edges are in the red zone, whereas the bowl of the valley is not. And so, you know, that's one thing that we have to look at. But again, the terms and conditions of the program say really that these are for the incentive. You have to comply with all of the other agency and other organization or government requirements, to make sure that it would be federal with your taxes, state with perhaps the model water efficient landscape ordinance, as well as local model water efficient landscape ordinance, the city's nuisance abatement, and then there's the county's fire. So there's quite a bit they have to comport with and comply with. But we basically, that onus is on the customer, and the agency is not confirming that or saying that our program makes you compliant with LA County fire fuel modifications. There's no reason why you can't do both. But right. You have to strategically incorporate those elements in your plan, in your design, which there's no reason why you wouldn't, why you couldn't participate in our program if you met their design standards.
Okay. So we're not approving certain bushes in certain places and measuring distances to house.
We do not. Okay. No.
Okay, good.
We're not designing the land.
What we say is, okay. Sorry, go ahead, Director Brown.
Oh, I was saying that we're not landscaping. I mean,
I know, but I think they turn in a plan.
They
turn in a plan, a drawing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
they turn in a rudimentary drawing for us that basically, and sometimes it's more advanced than that, but it'll basically say, okay, here was my landscape before, and here's what I plan to put that the number of plants, and we have a calculator and a plant calculator. And then we say you meet the compliance requirements. And our compliance requirement is that you have to have 50% coverage at maturity of plants. Now, if you want to get bonuses, you need to incorporate half of that being native plants, which are identifiable in our information. So that's really what we're saying, that our program, requirements are specific to receiving the incentives.
Okay.
But we recognize that there's all these other rules and requirements that you need to comply with. And so we do call that out in the terms and conditions that each customer signs when they apply for the program.
Okay. I guess one last question, because it's just interesting. TURP, I keep thinking about all the schools with the giant front lawns that are not sports fields. How's it going in outreach to schools on TURP?
non-functional turf specifically.
So with the non-functional turf, again, there's two things to consider. One is the emergency regulations from the State Water Resource Control Board that were initially launched in 2022 and then updated in 2023. We sent out information in 2022 and then have continued to engage with those customers to some extent about non-functional turf. And then when AB 1572 is passed, it has a 4 or 5 year lead time, which we're developing and understanding all the implications and incorporating a specific plan for rolling that out and hopefully in our water use efficiency strategic plan, which will identify it as a measure, but then talk about specifics within the plan. At this point in time, we've had some engagement with schools regarding non-functional turf. Preliminarily, their concerns are there's some equity issues that they're concerned about. Some of the school districts have removed some already and participated in our program. So it's moving at very different rates. But, you know, certainly there's a lot for them to be able to remove, I guess, as part of this, and they'll end up saving the water. And, you know, I personally have never really thought that a parking lot median in a shopping center should have a lot of grass on it, you know, little parking dividers.
Yeah.
That seems to be like that to me. That's like, why?
Why?
But and that's a lot of schools have a lot of that. So, I mean, there's some concerns on there. But I think for the most part, you know, folks are kind of looking, you know, we do have our turf lawn replacement program, which can help. And we probably need to look more further into that in the water use efficiency strategic plan as a specific plan, like I mentioned before.
So it sounds like, in summary, overall, we expect these new regulations to kind of focus our efforts going forward, and the past stuff is sunsetting. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
We have these, you talk about the new regulations and having a strategic plan and things like that. These old emergency things, we're not going to focus on that as much anymore when the new regulations are implemented. Is that what I understand?
I guess by virtue of the emergency regulations are going to sunset, and part of it was I think the state to get it on the placeholder. The State Water Board took action, and then the legislature took action to say we'll make this permanent. But that's going to be 5 years before it becomes enforceable. So I think that the emergency regulations will sunset, and they'll just be rescinded and expire because unless the board reauthorizes them. I'm not sure why they would. Maybe they choose to, but you know, in May they may come back and say we're going to extend these for another year. In which case, we need to communicate that with customers by virtue of what the state is requiring. However, I think that it will sunset. That specific measure will it rescind or expire, and then we'll be given time to develop our strategies for implementing the longer term picture as required by 1572, as well as those in the conservation long term framework.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
And just a comment or thought on the following up with customers. I mean, my view is, well, all of it is hard to maintain, right? Like, I mean, people have trouble maintaining their lawn.
So my thinking is that they don't have trouble maintaining their lawn because they hire somebody to do it. They do it. It's, you know, people don't mind spending the money. Okay? I mean,
so then his answer is correct, that if we're handing out information on how to maintain a drought-tolerant landscape, it should resolve.
Yeah, if the landscapers have enough expertise to figure out how rocks can be not moving themselves around. And
well, you just put the rocks back.
Yeah, well, it's... so many people in drought-tolerant, you know, when they do their... Decomposed granite is so common. I've seen it all over the place. And I've never seen one that's a few years old where the DG is not where it doesn't belong.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And now, you know, you've got this gravel and you can't, it's just a pain. I can imagine how difficult it is. I see people out there after the rain, they sweep their DDG off of the sidewalk and back into their yard. Mm-hmm. And I see so few that seem to be working.
I'll say that I know that part of the program, they do encourage that when you're designing it, you install like a bioswale into it so that it's capturing the water, obviously, but then also it's not going to be pushing things out into the walkways and the roadways and all that. So that is a component of it.
Yeah.
So hopefully people will be paying more attention to that.
Could that be that these people were just did it ahead of time, like before there were certain regulations or a thought or...
Which is why I'm sort of suggesting we need to go back and look at these things that we've... You know, that we've encouraged somebody to do 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, and look at it today and did it work? If it didn't work, what could we have done better? You know, did they not get the message about a bioswale that they needed to put in?
We could definitely contact them or some of them, do a sample and just be like, hey, can we come take a picture of your yard as a success story?
Well,
and then let them have the opportunity to
say, don't come, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we know their address. We can look at the, we can take a picture of their front yard.
I don't want to have us overstep and be the landscaping police or either.
No, I'm not trying to be police. I'm just trying to say, if we're encouraging somebody to do something that's going to make them unhappy, that may be a problem.
But they have a choice in like choosing a landscaper and choosing a design and choosing all this stuff.
They do.
And again, chairman?
Chairperson. Chair.
Director Gusite said, you know, we're not being in the weeds too much sometimes has a danger because then you can be held for everything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that the fact that we have guidelines and we're not telling them how to do these guidelines, I mean, we're all adults.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, everybody's an adult,
yeah,
and everybody has some kind of responsibility for.
Yeah. But we do hold ourselves out to be experts. We are providing gardening classes, and
we have help.
Yeah.
But we're not telling them what to do.
Right.
Help is out there,
and I do think that these landscape companies that are kind of converting to more natural or drought tolerant landscapes, I think they're becoming more sophisticated, and they are starting to recognize maybe some of the issues that people have had in the past and changing the way they're doing things. So I think it's evolving.
And I'm trying to say,
if we
let's evolve faster, maybe that's really my message.
Maybe you know, if we're recommending landscapers, then we need to make sure that we're recommending landscapers that won't.
Which I don't think we are recommending landscapers. I actually asked for that, and we're not, are we?
So, you know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's only a limit.
People do it themselves and can easily mess it up, and it is hard. My DG grows weeds every year. But we probably should move on because we've got a few more things on the agenda to get through. So I think it was if Matt's still there, a good presentation,
and thank you to Ms. Gallegos too.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't throw any questions your way. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on.
Thank you.
Did we already ask? Yeah, we already did public comment on this. So we can move on to 5, Communication Manager's Report.
Good evening. Quick report tonight. I did want to share, I know Mr. Sloan shared an award the other night at the board meeting, but we've additionally won 4 awards for the organization through the California Association of Public Information Officials. We're going to receive either a first place or a second place award for our website redesign, our brand refresh project, our public email newsletter, and our blanking. I had this written. I should have written down.
And one other thing.
So our website, our newsletter, our CCR. Our consumer confidence report.
Oh, okay. Good.
Which is a big one. I just wanted to make a note. It's humorous to me that our CCR is in the category of annual reports going up against Aqua's annual report.
Yeah.
So that it's either us or the entire Aqua waiting for our annual report. So we'll find out at our conference, which is in the middle of May. It's actually leading up to our next meeting date. I'll be coming back from that conference straight into POL when I get home.
Awards.
With awards. We'll just bring them all in.
So are we leading in the water category or overall?
No, it's overall. It's the CAPIO is all public utilities, public organizations, cities, counties, fire, sheriffs.
Hospital districts.
There's no specific industry.
Well, that's fabulous.
Yeah, so it's all public agencies in the state. And so we've got for our annual report, our public newsletter, our website, and our brand. So we'll find that out in middle of May. I'll have final ones at the next meeting. We wanted to tee up a quick discussion on our legislative advocates. Our agreements are nearing expiration on June 30th. We've finished our two-year terms with both VSA and Cal Advocates. And so we're at a point where we are looking for direction and renewing those agreements for future years, negotiating those agreements, and asking, do we want to stay on a two-year cycle and have this committee recommend those go forward for the full board approval based on the contract amount? Do we want to revert back to how it was before as a one-year agreement with staff discretion to do those renewals without bringing it to a full board each year because it would be under the general manager's spending authority? So we wanted to just think about it now. If we would like to bring those back and have the board, have the committee recommend those agreements for the full board, I would bring those back at the next meeting. We would discuss them, to debate if we recommend them, and then it would go to the June board meeting because the agreements would end June 30th. We would sign new agreements for July 1st. So I don't know if we want to talk a little bit about it, what your thoughts would be if we should bring them back and talk about that in May.
Trying to think how to handle this with this with number one, not sure if it's current, if this was on the agenda adequately, talk about it.
I wouldn't discuss it necessarily, but just some feedback on preference would be.
Bring it back to the committee or just take it straight to the board? Is that what you're asking?
No, we're asking should we bring it back to the committee, and this may be going to the next part of the agenda where it's future requests for items, bring a two-year agreement back to the committee to then recommend to the board?
Yeah.
Or we're just going to go ahead as staff discretion and we're going to do a one-year agreement.
One-year renewals are not above the threshold to go to the board. Okay.
Well, no, you're saying the second option wouldn't go to the board.
The controls on that are the budgeting process, the way that it's structured. Okay. So as we walked through with the budgeting process, we included our advocacy efforts in that budgeting process. The GM spending authority, now these contracts fall within that.
Yeah.
So there's an option to not have to bring it through the process and just allow it to be part of the GM spending.
So what's the mechanism for which the committee members or the board is able to give input? I'm very happy with both groups right now, but if at some point we became unhappy with them, I would like a mechanism for us to be able to give input and have the opportunity to say, maybe this is not what we want to continue doing. So how would that happen in the second
year? They work for the board,
right,
more than they work for staff.
Yeah.
And the idea that it should be just a general manager authority, it's somebody that works for us as the board needs to be hired by us as the board.
You're supporting a two-year.
Well, I'm supporting it. I don't care if it's 1 year or 2 year.
He just wants it to come to the board. He just thinks that it...
Yeah.
Sorry.
By the same token, all the engineering consultants and everyone else also doesn't come to the whole board.
Right.
So
they don't work directly for the board.
Monthly interaction with them, right? And I think it's a little different in the sense that they report out to us at these meetings every month.
I just see them as, in my mind, identical to the other professional services contracts. And if it was a problem somebody to know about it, and we wouldn't have them anymore, just like any of the other consultants.
It looks like we'll need to discuss it.
Yeah.
So bring it back. Just to answer your question, Director Armitage, about how would we do, we wanted to change or do something different, you would, basically just request, we would notice it. These contracts are month to month, so we could make a change whenever the committee thought that that was appropriate, and we could take that to the board too. But we'll go ahead and bring it back.
And up until now, though, it's been year to year.
No, this current one is on 2 years. It's my understanding it used to be every year,
okay.
And it would come back, and then it was the committee's decision. This is coming back so frequently. Let's extend the term because we're happy, and let's make it 2 years. Let's talk about it every couple of years. That's what we're saying. Do we want to switch it back? We're happy to bring it back. We've got updated scopes and cost estimates, and we're happy to bring that back.
So we'll have an agenda item on this topic.
We're action.
For action. Two. And then my last update, we'll be at the Cowboy Festival this weekend from 10 to 6, both days, Saturday and Sunday at Hart Park. We'll have some conservation folks. We'll have our water station on both days. We'll be located near the beer tent, is my understanding.
Good spot to be.
What's that?
Good spot to be.
Good spot to be.
Popular.
Trafficked.
Yes.
And so we're there by Hart Hall, the main entrance where the food is and the drinks, and we'll be right there for both days. Next weekend on the 27th and 28th, we'll be at the KHTS Home and Garden Show in Central Park, both days, full day. So those are our two large events for the spring. We'll have reports out after that. I'm not sure that I'll have stats by May, maybe into June, of how how many gallons we used through the refill station, how much materials we gave away, how our interaction. So I would hope to have those debriefs for those two events that may push into the June meeting. I just want to keep that on your radar. And that's my report. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any public comment?
There's none.
Okay. Director of comments, question.
Real quick on that. You mentioned the website, and just because you mentioned that, I think it was Tuesday before I went to the meeting. For some reason, I wanted to check to make sure that I had right information, check the website, and the website told me to go to the Rio Vista treatment plant to go to the meeting.
Oh.
Websites are so impossible to keep current.
Tuesday.
It is so hard, but
I'll have to check where that is.
Yeah, and look at that. The
individual one itself should have directed to a new one, but I can check to see.
Well, it was, meeting is there, and here's the agenda. And I click on the agenda. The agenda had it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So April's part of the process was exactly on, but
we'll check to see.
It's impossible to keep a website current. It's just not.
Hard. Any other director comments on the report?
For the Cowboy Festival and Home and Garden Show, can we work with whoever's promoting it, those events, to remind people to bring their refillable water bottles? That's always good, so that they can use our station. I mean, I know we'll have hopefully paper cups.
We'll also have, we do have refillable metal, I don't know the exact material, refillable bottles to give away.
Okay. And then how did the landscape class go at the Bridgeport?
That was a good one. We had we asked for folks to RSVP ahead of time, which maybe pushes some people off, but it was also very busy the Saturday morning at that park. There's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And so the conservation pop-up, they said that they did well. They had a lot of folks. I don't have the specifics. We had a full registration of class, and we had our instructor there giving tours of what is at the garden, what are the different features of it, how can they use it for education. And we had our conservation team and the pop-up there as well. So it's my understanding that it did well. I have to look at our section report. That has the specific numbers in there. That'll come out to the board next month. But it was my understanding that it was really well. So I were asking them to come back for the next one at that park. I don't know if that's going to be the June one or it's going to be the August one, but one of the next ones. It's either at Pine next time and then at the park again after that. But we have a couple more of those at the park.
Nice. And the garden is still looking nice.
Yes.
I haven't been there in a while. I keep wanting to just go by and check, and I haven't. So, okay. And then I want to say I saw the piece in the Santa Clarita Magazine, and I don't remember what the main topic was. Maybe it was the CCR. Was it the CCR? But it referenced the CCR, and it gave a link for that and talked about water quality. And I hope I'm not making that up. I'm pretty sure I read that. But I just remember being really happy to see that, because I know when the CCR comes out, we kind of do a promo on it, and then not much after that. And I just feel like that is such important information for people to know that our water is clean and safe to drink. And so I think every time I see a promoter, it makes me very happy. Thank you for the copies of the letters in here, the letters of support that were sent. I was happy to read those. Thank you for the special district. I know as being a member of the North LA County, they asked us to please reach out and see if we can get letters of support from our agency. So thank you for following through with that. I appreciate that. Question about the funding requests for the city for the Safe Routes to School for Saugus mm-hmm. High School. Like, I'm all for that, but I'm just, what was the nexus with, why did they want our support for that?
So we have a good relationship with them supporting each other's grant funding, and it's more of public organizations in your community, community leaders also supporting the work you're doing. So it's more of a, they've asked us, they've asked the hospital, they've asked just our public partners.
And do they do the same for us? Nice. I like that. And then I saw the letters to Senator Padilla, but I didn't see copies to Senator Butler. Is there a reason she's not?
Was that for the cities?
Yes. Was it because of
the
area?
Specific.
Okay.
Yeah, they were targeting a specific program.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. All right.
I'm sorry. I did have one more thing that I wanted to mention. Maybe I don't. I'm sorry. It skipped my mind again.
Maybe you do want that too.
it was what Dennis brought up about the check presentation with Assemblyman Cruciago. She'll be in town this Sunday. It's at 10 a.m. and the Chi-Chi's parking lot is where we'll meet. And then there's the underpass that goes over towards the cycling bear and the AMPM side of the gas station over there. So meet there. Her staff is staffing that event. I will not be there. Maybe either Matt will be there. And so for those that are going there, and then Andreas, her name, she will facilitate them.
Are we hiking in the river? Or
no,
is it
just
kind
of
standing
there. There's a rundo behind. We'd stand there and take a photo. She'd move the check. She's going to say a few things for whatever media shows up when she's on her tour. So, that'll be Sunday morning.
I remember the congresswoman will walk way out in the river. Well, not way out, but gonna learn shoes. Appropriate shoes. It was good. It was a good
some women can.
The next one is the committee planning calendar, item 6.
So we will add for May 16th, we will add a discussion and review of the advocacy contracts with recommendations to take to the full board for June, mm-hmm. either the first or second meeting in June, depending on what the calendar looks like for the board. And that's all that I have for the upcoming meetings. I don't have a special presentation unless there's future requests for the June 20th meeting. We know that that's the last days for the assembly. So I know that's a big, the Senate and the assembly, so I know it's a big advocacy update meeting, but I'm not.
Great. Any other questions or comments on the calendar? Seeing none, we are at request for future agenda items. I don't think we have any public comment.
There's no
public online. Okay. So I kind of, as follow up from the discussion that we had at the last board meeting, I had asked if we could somehow have a conversation about how do we better work with HOAs. And I've been trying to mull it over in my mind since then, and I'm still, I don't have a nicely presentation, to offer to you at this point, but nothing formed yet in my mind, but I just, maybe as a placeholder, if we could sometime in the future, maybe have that conversation, I'll continue to think about it. And obviously if anybody else has ideas. And I know Mr. Dickens had talked about some of the efforts that are happening, And I appreciate that there seems to be a lot more effort being made in reaching out to HOAs. So, and yeah, just wanted to throw that out kind of as a generality, and I'll continue to see if there's, if I have an idea of how to kind of hone that down. So, and then I had two more things. They're not really future agenda items. They kind of fall under miscellaneous. One was, I don't know if you guys saw from LA County Sanitation, it's their notice that went out for their increase. I thought this was really well written. I literally read every single word of this in kind of with my mind frame of, you know, from knowing that we do this also from time to time. So I was just going to say, if you haven't read it yet and it's sitting in your to be read pile in your mail, I think this is like, this is really good. I think they did a really good job with it. And especially like the, we are efficient with like the bar graphs, oh, yeah. right? Showing like how So I just thought this was really well written, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody takes a peek at this. And then the last thing I want to just say is April sent out an email today that the SCB Economic Development Commission, am I saying that right? Their public officials night is, it always falls on the night of our meeting. So I just wanted to flag that it falls on the next same, on our May meeting night. Doesn't matter to me.
May's moved, isn't it? Because the Aqua. Depending what it is,
no. It's the week after Aqua. I don't
know. We can certainly move it.
I mean, I'm okay with coming to this committee meeting, but I don't know if
this committee.
This
meeting?
Committee.
Oh, I thought you meant it was the board meeting.
No, it's no. It's this committee meeting.
Oh. Yeah, because we were going to have a meeting in May. So yeah, if we can. Shifted. I was actually thinking about exploring shifting if we end up with three meetings a week like we have been the last couple of times.
I know it's a little
okay. We have other votes for that.
Do you second that?
No, darn it. I prefer
do we
it.
Need to have a standing? Oh, you prefer it because you're traveling.
Yeah, I prefer
that's
I, yeah.
actually a
so I can try to plan. If I have three meetings in a week, I can try to plan to be on down.
That one is not does not fall on the same week as our FNA and other board committee meetings. So okay, that one's a little different.
We'll take a look.
Yeah. Okay. I just I can't do the following Thursday. So if that's what you guys choose to do, I won't be able to come. So
we are able to move committee meetings without. Like having it be a special, we can freely move them to reschedule. Is that correct?
It
like
still needs to be a special.
Oh, does it?
Okay. Well, we can reschedule.
I forgot.
It still gets a title.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I didn't know if there was a procedure to have it be a different date.
That you have to notice it.
It has to be noticed. Okay. All right. Anything else for? I think we can adjourn then.
Sounds good.
Thank you.